One moment. We're good? No, we're not good. We're good? I think we're good. All right. Nope, we're not good. You're not good. Because I can hear it echoing. All right? Okay, I'll say it again. We are living in a technological world, and technological problems do come up, but they're not something that we can't overcome, right? As the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is my job to be an overcomer. So I'm not going to let a little technical mishap be the reason why the message can't come forth, right? And so we've been dealing with the internet being very spotty, going in and out today for whatever reason. But I stand strong and I'm confident in the Lord Jesus Christ that he designed me to bring forth a certain message in this particular hour. And so with that being said, I don't fret over warfare. I destroy the works of the enemy. And you know what we're going to do today? We're still going to get set free in the spirit of our mind. That's why I'm here. So like I said earlier, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, kings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is me, Apostle Janita Collins, and I'm ready to bring you what the Lord has to say to you as we continue to track through what? Restoring our mind. Listen, I want you to understand that there's a problem within the body of Christ. And if you have been tuning in, I have been working with you, with teaching you about how to become as Jesus Christ actually existed in this world. This is what we're working on. And in order to do that, you must begin to understand, as I said before, that you have been operating through your sentiments. You must begin to understand, what does that produce for the king? I'll tell you exactly what it produces. It produces unjust emotions in the ecclesia. The title of this particular teaching, because we did one part one and part two about government versus sentiment, but now we're moving into unjust emotions in the ecclesia part one. Before I take you any further, though, I do want to encourage you that, listen, we're going to be together on July 19th here in Atlanta doing Canvas and Council. Come on through. You want to go to JanitaCollins.live and sign up, because listen, space is limited and it's almost full, and we will receive the counsel of the Lord through art. With that being said, we're going to move forward with this teaching. What are we teaching on now? Well, just like you called me and asked me about obligatory service, guess what else you asked me about? Obedience. You would be surprised how many Christians are walking around disobedient and not even aware. Oh, come on here. Not even aware. Scripture tells us that there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me today? This is why we have to work out our soul salvation, because just because it sounds right to you does not mean that it is right, righteous, or obedience. I need you to understand that. There is a way, according to Proverbs 14, that seems right to a man. I want you to say this today. There is a way that seems right to me. But it ends is the way to death. Do you want to die? No. Come on, I didn't hear everybody say no. You can't shake your head. We're moving into action. This is one of the major problems. That was a very frontal question. And what we do with our sentiments is this. But we don't take our voice and send out into all of heaven, earth, and everything in between. No, I do not want to die. Oh, come on here today. You didn't take command when you could have. That's why you're dying, because of your sentiments. You think your sentiments of just shaking your head is enough for God. You think just shaking your head is an appropriate response to a king. Do you not know who you serve? When the king asks you a question, you don't say, yes, sir. You don't say, yes, king. You don't say, yes, God. Oh, come on. You become a mute. Sentimentals. Your sentiments are destroying you. I got another one for you. According to John 5, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Sentimentals versus obedience. So you want God to honor you doing your own thing, but right here in scripture, it shows us that the Son can do nothing of himself. So if you claim to be a son of God, or y'all know how we like to say, if you claim to be a son of God, then here's my question to you. How can you do according to your own will? When scripture tells us, according to John 5, the Son can do nothing of himself. How have you not maturated into doing nothing of yourself? How have you not maturated of doing nothing on your own accord, but only doing what you see Jesus did in this scripture? Okay, I got another one for you. Sentimental rulership over yourself versus obedience. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Come on here today. Hebrews 5:8, listen, though he were a son, though you were a son, though you are a son, are you learning obedience by the things in which you suffered with Christ? Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Are you the one saying that God would never have you to suffer when he had his own son learn through suffering? Come on here. What gospel are we learning from? I'll tell you the gospel that you're learning from. You're standing on a gospel that's preached by humans, that's designed by humans, that's designed for human emotions, that's designed through sentiments, and is leaving you as an unjust son. Sentiments versus government. I said to you before, it's the response that reveals the heart. This is why you have to get a heart of flesh. This is why you have to want a new heart. This is why you have to give up your own heart, the heart that you were born in, the heart that was formed in your mother's womb. And you have to go for that spiritual heart that God said he'll give you. Obedience that feels versus obedience that rules. I said to you last week, where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what dost thou do it? For the word of the king is supreme. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Because you don't understand where your heart is lying, you're always asking the unnecessary question and do not put the action behind the necessity of Jesus Christ. You're not preparing yourself to be used by Jesus the Christ. You're preparing yourself to be used by a church made with human hands. You're preparing yourself to be made and to be used by a church that follows its own sentiments. And it is absolutely unjust in its emotions. It operates out of unjust emotions. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's what you must grow up to learn to do. That's what you must fight for. And one of the major commandments is to work out your soul salvation. We seem to think that that's an option in the scripture and not literally a commandment, just because it didn't say, this is thou commandment. You know, the rigid religious mind will have you thinking absolutely silly and stupid and saying things like this. Well, that's not what God said. That's not exactly what the text says. Go sit down somewhere, because you lack the spirit that reveals the truth of the scripture. The scripture is a mystery for those who are unlearned and not ready. That's Bible, or that's scripture. It's a mystery. He spoke in parables for a reason. Because the only way to enter into the truth, he has to find himself in you. The Holy Ghost has to lead you. You can't lead yourself into the kingdom. You can't engraft yourself into the kingdom. It's hidden from gross darkness. I said to you that we live in a generation where feelings are often mistaken for faith and emotions for obedience. We're going to keep walking through this until the body of Christ comes to the understanding that it is not fulfilling the promise of the Lord. It is fulfilling its own unjust emotions. Sentiment to feel. Thought or action driven by emotion, empathy, nostalgia, or cultural agreement. Come on. How often do you comb through your own self? I've talked about assessing your own self. How many times have you assessed yourself and asked this question of yourself? Am I processing eternity in the kingdom of Jesus Christ through my emotions? Through how I feel? Through what I think God should do? Through what I think should be done, through your own empathy, through your own nostalgia. Oh, you know, I really liked when my mother and father handled me this way, and so I expect my eternal father to handle me this way. Oh, you know what? I really like how my culture, my everyday culture, my everyday surroundings, my everyday societal norms make me feel. So I need God to come into that agreement. Listen, many of you have been lost in that whole movement of diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's a sentiment. That's not a government. That's a sentiment. That's not a government. That's a sentiment to the earthly passions. That's a sentiment to the earthly biases. That's a sentiment to the earthly emotions. That's a sentiment to the earthly inclinations of being low and not sitting high as a government. And then you try to bring that into the Lord's ecclesia and claim it as the Lord himself. You are a liar and you are a heretic. And I tell you why, because God only deals through his government, through his laws, through his commandments, and you do not. Those are your ideologies, not God's. And you are a whole liar in the kingdom and leading people astray because you want some money. That's why you're doing it. Because as soon as Trump started drying your dollars up, you started hollering. He's wrong. He's out of order. No, he's putting this country back in order. He's putting this country back all under government. Because every day your thoughts are rooted in your feelings and not in saving and keeping this country safe and free. Government. 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 To steer or direct the mind. The mind of this country is under a foreign sway. It's not under freedom. It's not under freedom. Let me tell you why. Because you're all bought. You're bought by the stimulus check. You're bought by every grant. You're bought by every program that sells you out. You don't stand for Jesus the Christ because you're bought by the dollar of this earthly world, not by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why you don't care about his government. That's why you can't uphold his government. That's why you're not a keeper of his government. And you have pawned it off. Little by little, piece by piece. I change a little, I change a lot. From moment to moment, whatever makes me feel good and whatever you say, because you are my new father, almighty dollar. Willful submission to divine authority, regardless of emotion. Jesus did not yield to the world, to the world's power. Did you not see when Satan tried to offer him the world? Do you not know his responses? Open up your scripture and learn of the God that you claim to serve. Because he showed you how to respond to the world. He showed you how to respond to your lustful appetite. He showed you how to respond to temptation. Govern yourself. But many of you don't want to govern yourself because to govern yourself would mean that you have to come up against your own sentiments. It means you have to come up from the world you've been shaped in and formed in, the iniquity that you have with your very own creator. You don't want to work out your soul salvation. Kingdom government functions by law, it functions by order, and it functions by submission, not emotion. You are unjust in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sentiments are opposing the rules of the kingdom. They're opposing the regime of the kingdom. They're even opposing the politics of the kingdom. If you love me, keep my commandment. Sovereignty. That's the politics of the king's kingdom. He's the one with all power. He even advised you in the book of Revelations to not take anything from his very word and do not add. Is that what you do from day to day? Do you not honor the rules and the regulations in the sovereignty of the Lord? Because you live in your emotions, because you function out of your sentiment. Sentimental responses to divine commands. Listen, I walked you through this scripturally. I gave you many, many examples. I'm not going backwards, I'm going forward. Rewatch the tapings, recordings on all of my social media outlets. You can find it, JohnitaCollins.live. That's it. Sentiment. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's where your sentiment lives. Your responses to divine commands are from your Adamic soul. But you don't want to work out that Adamic soul. You want to lose the kingdom just like Adam himself. Because you never ever sit down and look at Adam's sentiment towards his God. He lost and got kicked out of, listen, he got kicked out of the best place he could have ever existed. Because of his sentiments, you gave me this woman. Who are you to talk to the king in that fashion? You gave, this is how indignant we are from day to day, from moment to moment, and we think we're going from glory to glory. No, you're downgrading yourself and you're getting closer and closer to hell. Why? Because it's all about your emotions first. You have a heart of stone and you will not give it up for a heart of flesh. You won't. Why? You're dedicated to this human cultural society. You are heavy laden in this human cultural society. Your appetite is for this human cultural society. And you keep it safe. You are a guarder of humans and culture, not of the king and the kingdom. Governmental responses to divine commands, they look like something. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus was obedient unto his death. Y'all never think about the fact that what? Jesus himself had to enter into that new heart. He had to show that a new heart could exist. You know when he showed it? Lord, could you take this from me? It's bitter. Nevertheless, new heart. Nevertheless, new heart. Nevertheless, new heart. Nevertheless, new spirit. New spirit. Obedience. You get the new heart and the new spirit out of obedience. You don't get it, excuse me, out of repeating, Lord, come into my heart. He's not coming. He's not coming into an old filthy heart. Not when he said, there's a new one available to you, and I'll even put a new spirit in you. What version or what scripture are you reading? I'm challenging you today. The only way you can respond governmentally to the divine commands is what? To have a heart of flesh. In that heart of flesh lies eternal government. You move by eternal government first. You don't move first by your sentiments and your emotions. In kingdom alignment, out of that new heart and through that new spirit makes you a guardian. Makes you a keeper of the word. Makes you a protector of the king. Makes you what? In alignment and an ally, not an adversary. Come on, wake up. Wake up. According to Isaiah 43, do not call to mind the former things. Pay no attention to the things of old. What lies in the things of old? Your sentiments, I said earlier, nostalgia. But scripture tells us in Isaiah, do not call to mind the former things. You are the one calling to mind your past. Because the Holy Spirit is leading you into new things. Let's go. But you sit on the sideline, and every time God gives you an assignment, and every time God calls on you to come up higher and prove that you are a son, guess what you do? You pay attention to the things of old. How can I do that? I'm not worthy. I was this, I was that. When scripture says, do not call to mind the former things, you're the one always calling to the front of your mind the former things. Pay no attention to the things of old. When you gonna grow up? Then in Isaiah went on to say, behold, I am about to do something new. even now it is coming. Do you not see? Do you not see it? Do you not see it? Do you not see? It does not say, do you not feel it? It says, do you not see it? In other words, where is your spiritual discernment? Where is your spiritual astuteness? You have none. Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Indeed, for sure, you can trust and believe that this is what I am going to do for you. Don't you know? No, you don't know because ye are of little faith. You don't believe the scripture. That's why you're always making some new finagled version up or bringing it down to something that it never ever said instead of bringing yourself up higher. Behold, I'm about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Pay no attention to the things of old. I'm going to put these scriptures together for you to set yourself free. Pay no attention to the things of old. Why? Why? Because I will make a way in the wilderness. It streams in the desert. You don't use the word to grow up. Okay, we're still in Isaiah. For behold, I will create new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Do you understand when you get that heart of flesh that turns whichever so way God will, and you're willing to do the will of the Father, that these things can't come to mind? Who you were is no more. It is literally gone, and who you are and who you are to be is being built up. You living out of your new created spirit, not out of your emotions. This is why this message is called unjust emotions, because I'm walking you through how your unjust emotions keep you dead and not alive. But the promise is for you to have life and life more abundantly, and you want to pull on Jesus for everything else except to grow yourself up. Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. This is a promise. This is a promise that you have not cashed in on. Why haven't you cashed in on it? Because you don't think that you need to change. You don't think that the former things need to be of no more. You are in agreement of your Adamic nature. That's why your sentiments are keeping you lost. Downtrodden. You may put on a good face, you may put on a good front, but when we get down to it and when we look under that facade that you have, there's no healing and there is no deliverance. Why? Because there's nothing new about you. You have no new spiritual tools. You working with the old heart that's made of stone, that's full of hatred, that's full of lust, that's full of hurt, that's full of pain. You've made no way for the heart of flesh to come forth. Every time God wants to deal with a situation that has caused you to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity, you say, don't touch it. You say, I don't want to talk about it. You say, sweep it under the rug. And you don't deliver it over to the blood. John 3. Jesus replied, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How are you born again without a new heart? How are you born again without a new spirit? You're illegally operating. How is that possible? Just because you jumping around and shouting, and just because you think you speaking in tongues, yeah, you speaking in somebody's tongues, but it may not be the tongues of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. As I said before, yeah, you do have a form of spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you do have holes in your spirit, but they're not holy. Oh, come on. Let's look at ourselves. Let's examine ourselves. That's why we take communion. It says, before you take this, examine yourself. Are you examining yourself? Or are your sentiments and your emotions evaluating everything concerning Jesus Christ and make it an illegal move? Romans 6. We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death. And in order that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, is it just Jesus? We too may walk in newness of life. Oh, Apostle Janita, I will break it down. Oh, listen to me. You're not getting out of truth. It's written. When Jesus said it's finished, that's exactly what he meant. He meant it's time for you to work out your soul salvation. And because you have unjust emotions, you never sit down and begin to work out your soul salvation. But why would scripture tell us, and this is New Testament, is it not? Because we like to say, oh, that's Old Testament. No, this is New Testament. I'm going to read it again. We therefore were buried with him through baptism into death in order that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. Where is your newness of life? When you're the one always bringing to mind and talking about what was. Where's your new language? Where's your new outlook? Where's your new hearing? Those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. With the spirit of what? Oh, okay. Y'all can say it a little louder. Don't be afraid. Because we ain't never scared. Romans. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. How you gonna just set yourself up and claim that you a fellow worker with Christ Jesus? Without cleaning up, without a new life, how are you going to become the teacher and the leader in the body of Christ with all of your fallacies? With all of your falsehoods, with all of your imaginations? Criminal love in the ecclesia. You don't know what love is. How are you going to teach love? How you gonna teach the love of Christ through your unjust emotions? Because it's how you feel, or because it's the idea that you think. Listen to me. I'm gonna give you a few more because we could be here all day, but I want you to write this down and I want you to study these scriptures yourself. I want you to go into Romans 16 and 9. 16 and 10, Galatians 6 and 15, Ephesians 4 and 24, Hebrews 8 and 13, Revelations 21. And matter of fact, let me read that. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. How many times do we have to see it written in scripture that former things have passed away before you will come into the understanding that your unjust emotions are leading you into more death and not into life and life more abundantly? It's not leading you into freedom. How many times must we see it written in scripture before we grab a hold of the truth of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Revelation 21 and 5. And the one seated on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Then he said, write this down, for the words are faithful and true. Do you think he's just talking about whatever he says after this? or his whole word. His whole word is faithful and true. His Old Testament that you like to call in his New Testament. No, the full counsel of the word is faithful and true to perform exactly what it's sent to do. What are you pulling from the scripture to do? How are you spending your time? I got something else for you. Teresa, can you read this? 2 Corinthians. Can you tell us and read it nice and loud from the top?
For we know that if our earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, we groan in this tent, desiring to put on our heavenly dwelling.
First of all, why do you think God had to say not made with hands? Because he already knew we would have this earthly issue, that we would believe our sentiments and our emotions were more valuable than him himself. An eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. He's giving you an identity, a place, but he's also telling you who you are. That yes, you do have this earthly tent, but you're supposed to have an eternal tent that you are well aware of. Well, why would he give you, put a new spirit in you if that eternal tent doesn't exist right now? If that dwelling place doesn't exist right now on earth as it is in heaven, as he is, so are we in this world. If it doesn't exist right now and it only exists after we die and there's nothing to work out and come into agreement with, then I just want to know, why are all these other things existing? Why are these other words being presented to us? It's something for us to think about beyond our emotions and our feelings. Come on here. I'm a little hot. Can I get a little air?
Indeed, we groan in this tent, desiring to put on our heavenly dwelling.
Okay, we're groaning.
Since we are clothed, we will not be found naked.
We don't want to be found naked. We want to be found grown. Clothed and in our right mind. Go ahead.
Indeed, we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life.
Oh, wait a minute. So that what?
Mortality.
Your humanistic self can be swallowed up by
life.
What kind of life? The only thing that can swallow up mortality is the spirit of the living God. Do y'all think so?
Yes. Yes.
That's the only thing. That's why he said, I'll give you life, but life more abundantly. Come on here.
Now, the one who
protects- up there, please. Mm-mm.
Now, the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment.
Oh, did I just say that? The new created Spirit? Oh, okay. He gave it as a down payment. Can you finish that? He gave it as a down payment.
He gave it as a down payment. So, we are confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Okay, so we believing and trusting. We walk in this thing by faith, not by what we see, not by how we feel, not by what has happened, but what we know to be that Christ himself has done.
In fact, we are confident and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord.
Okay, away from the body and at home. How could that happen simultaneously? How could you be away from the body? Huh? Okay, you got to live in the spirit, that new spirit. You got to understand that you're seated in heavenly places. You're seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus Christ. Oh, come on here. Y'all don't want to grow up. Everything about your thinking is earthbound. But scripture right here is telling us, wait a minute. There's more to this. Away from the body and at home with the Lord. You can live there, but you have to have his mind. You have to have his spirit. I mean, because after all, Jesus did it. That's why he got up every morning. He consulted his Father. He did not do anything he did not see his Father do. The word see right there. What do you think was happening? Come on. He was seeing. His eyes were wide open in the spirit of eternity as he existed in the flesh on earth. Where is your spirit, man? You living out there in the supernatural with every other spirit and not taking yourself up higher into the eternal information that's available to you. Why? Because you don't have a new heart. You don't have a new spirit. Your heart and your spirit is not rooted in the identity and the love of Jesus Christ. It's rooted in its endemic nature connected to your earthly parents. Connected to your form. Connected to your shaping. Connected to your sin. Connected to your iniquity. That's why that's all you can operate out of and talk about. Come on.
Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him.
Well, at least they decided what they were going to do. Have you? Go ahead.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat.
Y'all know how y'all like to say, do not judge me. You will be judged. You will be judged. And if you are in the body of Christ, you are submitted under somebody that has a higher authority to help you to get into eternity. And at minimum, you're working with the Holy Ghost. But there should be some working and some acknowledgement that there is some work to do, such as working out your soul salvation so that you can get in. So that when the day of judgment come, you won't hear, get from before me, I never knew you. Go ahead.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be paid for what he has done in the body.
Down payment and paid for what you have done in the body. And if you just thinking in this body, I am here to let you know in the entire body of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Whether good or evil.
Oh, whether good or evil. So to say that there's no such thing as evil and you can't do evil and everything goes in the body of Jesus Christ, you a liar. And the scripture is telling you you're a liar. Go ahead.
Therefore, since we know the fear of the Lord.
Oh, you have no fear of the Lord. That's why you can conduct yourself that way.
Therefore, since we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people.
Oh, our job is to help people. We try and persuade people. What?
What we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your consciences.
Okay.
We are not recommending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you may have a reply for those who take pride in outward appearance rather than in the heart.
Oh. So I'm teaching you every day so that you can have a response to those who tell you it doesn't take all that. For those who lie to you and tell you that you don't have to change, come as you are and stay as you are. For those who lie to you and tell you that the Lord is just going to come into your filthy heart and that he's not going to give you a new heart. that you don't have to have a new spirit, that you can serve every God and you can take God and include him into every other God that you serve. That God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is a part of the pantheon. But I'm here to tell you that's a lie. It's a fallacy. And my job is to turn you from darkness to the light. Why? I'm compelled to do it because I'm fully persuaded that in order to make it into heaven, we have to work out our soul salvation right here on earth and do and be obedient and not in our emotions. Because you've never seen Jesus in his emotions, and you've never seen him questioning everything that he saw that the Father put before him. He operated out of the new heart.
For if we are out of our mind, it is for God.
So if I'm out of my mind, I'm out of my mind for God. You can say that I'm crazy if you want to, but I'm going to be crazy for God.
If we are in our right mind, it is for you.
But I'm in my right mind and I appear to be crazy for you. I appear to not go with the crowd. I appear to not agree with this false doctrine that's being taught for you.
For the love of Christ compels us.
Oh, it is my love for my King that compels me to go against the common denominator that's being taught in the body of Christ, which is Satan, the father of lies, the master of confusion. I do not agree with him. He is my Lord's adversary. And because I do not agree with him, I do not agree with all of these false doctrines being taught. So I stand flat-footed in the word of the Lord. And I may look crazy to many because I follow the word of the Lord. And I teach those who follow me to follow the word of the Lord. Don't even follow me. I remember telling my youngest daughter, hey, if I ever leave Christ at any point in my life, I depart from Christ, you don't follow me. Did I say it? And I stand on it. If at any point in my walk, I decide to no longer follow Jesus the Christ, you have every right to stick to what the word says. Don't lose your salvation or your position with Jesus Christ for man. And I don't ask anybody following me to lose Jesus Christ for me. Half of your leaders are asking you to lose Jesus Christ for them. They have persuaded you that you need them in order to think, that you need them in order to prosper, that you need them in order to have a platform. And guess what? You agree. That's why you're still there. Because you want to be a part of the world's populace and not a part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on.
For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves.
This is scripture. The requirement is for you to no longer live for yourself because he died for you. You have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. But do you operate as such? You operate as if what? Your sentiments and your emotions. It's truth. It's faith. And Jesus Christ should be believed, yet no longer live for yourself, no longer live for themselves, no longer live for, okay, go ahead.
And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised.
Oh, wait a minute. There is a trade-off. And this is not the first place you're going to find it. Those who live should no longer live for themselves. Those who are claiming that Jesus died for them and now they have life and life more abundantly, they should live for the one who died for them and was raised. Jesus is the only one that died for you and was raised. Jesus is the only one that died for you and was raised. Jesus is the only one that died for you and was raised. Buddha didn't die for you and was raised. Muhammad did not die for you and was raised. None of these other false gods died for you and was raised. Jesus is the only one that died for you and was raised. And because you are alive, you should now be dead and your life should be hidden in Christ Jesus so that you could have life and life more abundantly. You will find me absolutely in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ.
From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective.
Uh-oh. If I could, I would just walk off. Why? Why? Because everything about the church, everything about the church today is from a what?
Worldly perspective.
A worldly perspective. Earthbound, not kingdom perspective, not eternal perspective, but from a worldly perspective. From now on, if you are claiming to be in Christ Jesus, you are obligated. It is your obligatory service to think like this. From now on, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. From now on, I do not know you by the flesh. From now on, I do not know you from this earthly perspective. From now on, I must see and know everything by the Spirit of the true and living God. That's my perspective. Wait a minute. Now, maybe, just maybe, you'll see now why your sentiments are of no value to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, maybe, just now, you will see how your emotions are unjust. Because your emotions are centered in a worldly perspective. Not in the kingdom. Where is your center?
Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective.
Even if you believe that Christ walked this earth. Even if you believe that he came to this earth and he was born of Mary.
Yet now we no longer know him.
Scripture tells us that right now you are no longer to know him in that way. Oh, come on here. That's for all of you that want to preach this humanistic gospel and say Jesus had feelings and Jesus had sex and Jesus did not function out of our humanistic emotional mindset. He functioned out of his eternal spirit and he returned back to the Father. He did not do what you say he did. You will not find it. You're twisting the gospel and you're going to hell for it.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ,
you are not in Christ. You are not in Christ, and I'm standing here judging you as such. You are not in Christ because what?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new
creation.
The old has passed away, and see, the new has come.
Listen. I don't need to say anything else. The word speaks for itself and defends itself. And I know you want to say that it's something else and it doesn't take all of that, but absolutely, we're under the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be found in who?
Christ.
Oh, if any man be found in Christ, are you found in Christ or are you found in crust? Listen, I have to ask that. You know how crust is on the outer layer, but when you cut it or when you go through, it's all pudding or whatever the filling is on the inside. It's all fluff. It's not rooted in the king is what I'm saying. Your identity, your soul, your heart, your mind, it's not found in Christ Jesus. It's found in this earthly world. It's found in your flesh, in your lust, in your desires, in your own understanding. Go ahead.
Everything is from God.
God, he just keeps going. He doesn't even stop. Then he made a whole pronouncement. Everything is from me. What are you talking about? Everything belongs to me. I am the king of all kings. I am the Lord of all lords. I sit high and look low. All right.
Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
So as a minister of the gospel, and if you are in Christ Jesus, your job is to what?
Reconcile.
Do what?
Reconcile.
Oh, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring you back online, to bring you out of gross darkness, to teach you the truth from the lie, not to give you more lies and land you in hell. Go ahead, my sister.
That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them.
Hold on. God was reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against him. He's not counting your co-signing. He's not reconciling, saying it's okay to co-sign. He's not co-signing. He's not praising. He's not defending. And he's not guarding your trespasses. Oh, no, because we like to believe that God is okay. We like to believe that the blood is just working and we don't have to work. We like to believe because, listen, he was not counting their trespasses against them. He was reconciling them unto himself and letting you know that through his blood, that guess what? You don't have to remain the same. All things have truly passed away. All things become new under his blood. He wasn't just co-signing. Oh, just stay the same because I'm a sacrifice. This is what y'all like to do, because y'all like to think that Jesus is just a lamb and he's not a lion. He's not bold. He wasn't sitting there praying, oh, you know, I love my kids. They just some sinners. Let them sin some more. Because I've died on the cross. I've died on the cross. I've died on the cross for you. So do nothing. Do nothing because I died for you. No, that's not what we just read. We saw earlier a whole, wait a minute, I died for all. And because I died for all, you should die because I'm the one that rose. Did we not hear that?
Yes.
So how do we think that that action of reconciling our trespasses leaves us in the position of Jesus co-signing? Because that's what you think when you think you can remain the same. That Jesus was praising, oh, great job, never change, my child. Oh, my little one. Stay with my adversary. I love you so much, and my blood is working for you. He did not defend. He did not say, I'm going to die and do nothing, because earlier it already showed the exchange. I died for all, and all should die for me, because I'm the one that rose on the third day. You know what? I'm going to guard your trespasses. Nobody ever judged that. Well, this started off that everybody's going to the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to be judged. Everybody's going to be judged. So he's not guarding our trespasses against him or one another or his body. He even talked, oh, come on here.
And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Since God is making his appeal through us.
God is making his appeal through me today. Every day I come up here on fire and ready to preach the gospel as it is. Nothing put on it, nothing taken from it. I'm not adding and I'm not taking anything. I'm just preaching what the gospel says. I'm not drawing man unto me. I'm drawing man unto my king. That's what we have to do. That is the spirit of reconciliation. That's the ministry of reconciliation. And I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm making an appeal on his behalf because, listen, you're saying that you're a Christian. You're saying that you're born again, but you're not living as such.
We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God.
Hold on. Be settled. Remember earlier, it said a down payment. Be settled. Settle the record for God. That's how you're reconciled unto the Lord. Settle the payment. I belong to God and God alone. I choose every day whom I'll serve. Settle the debt. Be reconciled. Be settled. Be debt free. Be hidden in Christ.
He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Do you want to become the righteousness of God? Did you ever consider that that's a part of working out your soul salvation, to become the righteousness of God, not to become and remain in your sentiments and your emotions? Have you considered that? If you haven't, I'm admonishing you to today to consider that. Sentiment cannot govern a kingdom, and it certainly cannot govern the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sentiment will always choose comfort. Sentiment will always choose compromise. Sentiment will always choose the consensus. But the kingdom is governed by righteousness. Jesus never moved by pity. Jesus never moved by pressure. Jesus never moved by personal pain. Jesus never moved by, was never moved by persecution. He was always moved by what the Father revealed. So I'm going to admonish you and warn you today. Whenever sentiment governs you, you make an earthly covenant, an earthly agreement with the things God never authorized. Hear me and hear me well. This is why I teach the illegal actions in the kingdom of God, so that you can be set free, so that you can set you free, and so that you can walk as the righteous of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm stopping right here. Next week, I'm telling you, I'm going to take you in even deeper in part two. But for now, I think that this is enough. For now, I've given you enough scripture to go back and read and research and read again and find yourself. Are you a king or are you a criminal in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? God bless each and every one of you. And I want you to remember, as he is, so are you in this world. So get your identity, grab a hold of it, and begin to work out your soul salvation. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I'm on fire for Jesus Christ because, listen, I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. See you next week.
My God, today, what a powerful message again today by Apostle Johnita Collins. Are you being ruled by your unjust emotions? There are some things that you have to go back and listen to this message and just ponder on and ask yourself, am I processing the kingdom of God through my emotions? Am I really walking out sentimentally that has no value to God's kingdom? You've got to go back and listen to the last few teachings that she had so this can really bring you up to speed. But I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you to know how you are being blessed with the word of God that is coming through our apostle that is speaking nothing but the truth. And with that being said, we would like for you to have the opportunity to partner with us in your giving. You can give your alms, you can give a seed, you can partner and give your war tax today. You should be able to see it on the screen, and you can give at Cash App at One Rain Embassy, or you can also give by Zelle at jcmerchant@gmail.com. Again, it should be on the screen. We invite you to go out and follow us on our social media. Go out and check out johnitacollins.live. And with some announcements, we would love for you to join us at Canvas in Council on July 19th, taking place in the Metro Atlanta area at 4 p.m. And here's a new announcement. We have Tap In Tuesday starting this upcoming Tuesday on July 1st. It's going to be every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. where we are taking, right, the word where it meets our walk with Jesus Christ, where we pause, process, and power up. We're going to catch the vision as Apostle begins to continue, well, as she continues to unpack the message. We want you to tap in. So look forward to seeing us on YouTube, on Facebook, this upcoming Tuesday as we tap in at 7:30. And as she already stated, as he is in this world, so are we. We will see you next week.